96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Morning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Tuesday the 3rd of September and you are on the clock with Erin Green and it is back to school time. It is back to school time and all of the children's look smart in their uniforms. And this is a good thing. This is lots to talk about this morning. Joining me in studio is Mr. C.A. Newry. Morning, Mr. Newry.
Good morning this morning, Erin. How are you doing today?
I am good.
Today is Tuesday.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Today is Tuesday. Let me start the show by saying this. I experienced a lot of technical difficulties with Patelco yesterday. I'm not sure if it was isolated to me alone.
Patelco cellular or Patelco landphone?
Cellular.
Okay.
And so I just wondered, I want to say to people, if you experience like difficulty loading data packages or loading plans, experience difficulty with data yesterday, give Patelco a call and give them some feedback, right? Because they may not be aware of the extent of the issues that consumers are experiencing. And that's how we do our part in the process of providing better, more reliable services to the public. I got a quick text. Great show as usual. Traffic is ridiculous, but the kids ain't home to eat up all the food in the fridge. What a trade-off, eh? See, there are those of us now who have to find balance with that. So I don't have any children.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't experience the children home all day eating up all the food, burning up all the electricity, breaking up all the furniture, just being children and having fun, right? Like, mm-hmm. just being children. I don't have that to balance with the school traffic start again.
The school traffic starts again.
Right. I would love to do a segment, Mr. Newry, where we talk about education, academic, and school-related issues. We just focus on them.
No, that's not bad.
I think parents deserve a space where people are looking out for them.
You mean to voice their concerns and then solutions?
Right, and then to identify the root of issues, right? Because, I mean, parents are aware of problems, but they may not necessarily have the time to get to the root of the problem, to devise and implement a solution, a resolution to the various problems. Mm. I mean, we need lots of advocacy groups in this country, right? Groups that provide a kind of oversight within a space to ensure that the key stakeholders, A, get what they need to play their part, that key stakeholders' issues are properly represented in the public domain, or better yet, properly articulated in the public domain. For instance, as soon as the texter said traffic, I thought, yeah, public transportation, public school systems, so much. And I want business owners to understand their intersection in the discussion. So much time on the job is lost.
I know you have history in advocacy in general,
mm-hmm.
but many behemoths do not know what advocacy entails in terms of how do you organize yourself? How do you get people to be involved and dedicated to it?
Right.
Like, how does a parent say, hey, I want to be a advocate for my children's rights in school, out of school, mm-hmm. regarding government, traversing on the streets? How does that start?
Right. Well, you start by identifying. Well, normally it starts it's sort of, what you call it, like retroactive. That may not be the right term, but an issue arises. Like, for instance, Save the Puff.
Save the Puff?
Yeah, remember C.R. Walker?
Hair thing. Yes. Right. C.R. Walker.
The question about natural hair. Mm-hmm. And a parent had to advocate on behalf of her child, mm-hmm. right, who they felt was being unnecessarily penalized for wearing her hair in a natural style, right? So normally the way that these organizations form is an issue arises. Like, for instance, Rainbow Alliance of the Bahamas, there's a singular moment that led to the creation of that group. And it's when Bishop Samuel Green got up in the Independence Ceremony church service 2003 and indicated if Parliament enacts same-sex marriage, he'll become the next Guy Fawkes. Mm-hmm. And that moment...
I mean, he's going to plan to burn down Parliament.
I mean, I can be honest with you.
Blow it up.
Before having an actual conversation with Bishop Green about the statement, I would have said that.
I know a Guy Fawkes.
Right. But after having a conversation face-to-face with Bishop Green, I want to say facilitated by Controversy TV, but never aired by Controversy TV, because the interview was...
not controversial enough?
Well... that's one way to put it. I say it was far too controversial for controversial TV. Hmm. So they didn't air it, right? But what Bishop Green said was that, look, I really apologize if I struck that level of fear into the hearts and minds of the LGBT community. The conversation was not directed towards y'all. It was directed towards Parliament and parliamentarians. The reason I believed him was because Bishop Green was also a part of the Constitutional Reform Committee and process. And so in that process, they were learning about the law and how it operates and some of the key human rights issues or constitutional issues that may arise in reform, and same-sex marriage was one of them. Mm-hmm. So I realized that Bishop Green probably learned the law, understood, like, I can call it the path to same-sex marriage, how it exists, but the ban on same-sex marriage is, in fact, discrimination. So I think it was a frustration that drove Bishop Green to say that. I want to make that point because to not make that point is to accuse Bishop Green of terroristic actions. To get up on a national stage at an Independence church service and to make a statement that isolates one constituency, one category of people in your country, and to speak with that violence, and the violence is not necessary, right? It appears as if it's directed at the LGBT community.
I thought it was directed at parliamentarians.
But... right, and I explained, because a lot of people didn't understand the nuance of the statement that it was directed at parliamentarians. And so it's usually a singular moment that causes the rise or creation of an advocacy group. Parents, though, should begin organizing themselves. PTA is the first step, right?
PTA.
And from PTA, parents may find like an infrastructure, like an organizational space where they can begin to form sort of, I wouldn't say small, but they can form advocacy groups, right? So there may be parents who say, look, I know that there are underprivileged girls that go to school with my daughter. And I know this because my daughter said to me, Mom, when you buy feminine hygiene protection for me, could you buy a little extra because a couple of the girls in my class don't ever have it.
They have a child at St. Anne's that does that. She's in grade 6.
Mm-hmm.
And she provides sanitary napkins for people in that primary school era and make sure in all the bathrooms.
And then what you may find is that the medical community may jump on board and the research community may jump on board, because the question is, if a sixth grade child understands the need and the lack of access to these resources, then we have to say, well, do we have an abnormal incidence of girls, of cycles initiating at a younger age?
Mm-hmm.
So are girls' periods starting younger and younger? Is this a nutrition issue? Is this an external environmental issue? Is this a genetic issue, right? And so you find that as you work through the issue, that you find more stakeholders and more people who have an interest or an intersection with the issue or the conversation.
But at the end, as we transition,
yeah.
Everyone should be part of some kind of advocacy group.
Absolutely. Like, for instance, there was a video emanating from Pinewood.
Mm-hmm.
Two youngish men, they sounded youngish men. They identified a drain that was obviously clogged. They went in the drain with their own shovels, and they talked about, I mean, they said it, look, somebody gets paid to do this.
Yes.
Why are people not doing it?
Mm-hmm.
Why do we have to come out and do it?
Mm-hmm.
And my response on the video, like, I don't know the play. I just responded to the video was, hey, King, like, you need somebody to take charge. And you, it seems like you were the person who's taking charge.
The video does wonders. Surely there will be a response by the parliamentarians, politicians to say, okay, I see you.
Right. And like, I want to say to the young men, them who don't seem to have a problem smoking the weed in public, like, if you just can be hanging around smoking the weed on the corner, it's illegal.
Don't do it.
But if you could do it, pick up a shovel and do something. Pick up a rake and do something.
Don't that make you sleepy? That you don't want to work no more?
Well, thank God for the Cannabis Authority Board, who's going to also provide lots of research.
You sure?
Access to They better.
Did they say that?
They did imply it. You know the way that manifestos imply that they intend to consider things?
It's medical marijuana.
That are considerable,
for people who have cancer, what are they investigating into?
Yeah, okay. Don't watch nothing. I think you answered your question. The point is, we have space for more advocacy groups. We need to encourage people who see the problem to understand that you see the problem because you have a solution in hand or within you. And let us press forward in that sense.
So let me conclude with this.
Yeah.
It's slow in tourism now. I mean, not no normal slow. I think this is the slowest period in tourism we have seen in about a decade. This is almost as slow as what the place name, when we had the shutdown of the country.
Oh, the
pandemic.
Yeah.
Almost as slow as that, right? The percentage is low. Particularly, this percentage is low on the family island.
Yeah.
Nassau slow and family island slow. It's two different types of slows, right? Perhaps
our friend in Long Island,
yes.
Chuck Fox.
Yes. And I'm encouraging now Ministry of Tourism officials to do a tour now to explain to family islanders particularly what is happening, what is the goal, what is the objectives on how we can get through this, what we'll be doing in the meantime,
right?
Doing this, right?
What can you be doing in the down season contribute,
yes,
A, to the on season, the big season, but also to sustain yourself throughout the slow season?
They could be doing some training, some exercise and training, right? Where government can subsidize some businesses on the family island in particular. But definitely the Ministry of Tourism needs to reach out to family island operators and also to Nassau base operators who are on the Bay Street downtown who are noticing that there's a decline. Mm-hmm. This is what we plan to be doing in the meantime during the slow period.
Let me tell you something. If I were a Long Island resident, or if I were an Exuma resident, right? Or if I were in the Mical constituency, you know what I'd be doing in the off season?
What should be doing in the off season?
I'd be making my way to Ragged Island and figuring out how much tamarind I could harvest before it get wet down there. It turns out Ragged Island is the tamarind capital of the Bahamas because of the dry weather.
What are the Ragged Island people doing?
I don't know. They raking and they scraping it. That's a euphemism for they just trying to survive.
And this is what a number of family islands see themselves doing. And this is why, going back to advocates, perhaps family island advocates need to showcase their frustrations, document it, post it, so the politicians who are not aware can become aware and say, okay, let me initiate some solutions for you.
Right. And there's so many things that we could be doing. We could be harvesting almonds and creating not just an almond nut, an almond milk, an almond liqueur products, right? An almond flour. That's four products from almond. Tamarind is a billion, if not trillion dollar industry across the world. And there's so much more we could be doing. Let me read the text so far, and then we're going to transition because Netanyahu says, no one will preach to me. And I wonder how the rabbis in Israel feel about that statement. Tech says, good morning, Aaron. In reference to back to school, I would like for the people responsible for roadworks to fix that massive ditch in front of Uriah McPhee heading north on Camp Road.
Okay.
All right.
Please, advocates like that right. to remind us that something right. is wrong.
And then corrected. I can say, look, we know that there have been major reconstruction of the school landscape. And so in this instance, I will say, yes, we need to continually draw their attention to it. But we understand, like, why the ditch is there. They did major things. They took out a whole bunch of trees. They created more parking, more uniform parking, and access to come in and pick up kids in front of the school on Kemp Road. So it's very interesting to see how that works out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone talk about parking. Have you seen the Harbor Bay shopping set up with new parking?
Yeah. I understand it.
Yeah, I understand. It took some getting used to. Yeah. Especially if you haven't been there in a while.
I mean, if you don't like to follow rules.
And you don't like to follow rules. But I understand why right. it's there. It's one way in and a one way out.
Right.
So if you haven't gone to Harbor Bay in a while, know that they changed the parking structure type thing.
Right.
And there's one way getting in there and there's one way getting out.
Like, for a long time, they allowed people to determine for themselves how they would use the space within the scope of the rules and the boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And people said, I don't care.
I don't care.
I mean, Harbor Bay has a number of stop signs,
yes.
places where you're supposed to stop.
Yes.
People in there don't care.
And people use it as a thoroughfare, like a through road
right.
to get to the next access.
And then they speed through. You know,
and forget it's a shopping area.
Like, it's a parking lot, so they're going to be pedestrians.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's, I'm sure the risk, right, for the people who own the plaza, the risk involved was so great that they realized that they had to force people to follow the rules.
Mm.
And I think that's just me. I think that's what, like you said, A, the security issues, minimizing the risk and increasing the chance of being able to catch a culprit
mm-hmm.
before they leave the plaza,
mm-hmm,
but also moderating driver behavior.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Texia says the tourism is slow because we've been trying to sell sun, sand, and sea, and it's now played out.
We sell Bahamians, sun, sand, and sea, and culture. We all know that. Anyone in tourism is aware of that.
Yeah.
So I'm correcting the texter. I know better.
Yeah.
I better.
Is the culture we offer in them played out?
No. Hopefully not.
Okay, good stuff.
I hear. You come in and experience me.
Use a cultural bay.
That's a cultural bay.
I agree.
Yeah.
No, I agree. And I think we are, like C. Allen Johnson said yesterday, we need to re-examine what it is we're doing and how we're doing it. And why are we doing it?
And then we need to conclude on who is responsible for implementing things. Number of Bahamians need to invest into
Pause.
Themselves.
A texter says, what are y'all talking about? I hope I added the right emphasis, texter.
Mm-hmm.
There are no legal rules in the parking lot. You cannot take anyone to court for breaking parking lot rules. It's all a facade. I could take you to court for knocking my car. I could take you to court. Let the judge determine what the judge could determine.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that they put some rules inside the parking lot.
Yeah.
Whatever legal.
But like, if you see a stop sign and you say to yourself, "To hell with that stop sign,"
or what do you call it when you have parking designated for handicapped people?
Yeah, handicapped spot.
To hell with you all. I can park right here.
Yeah. I don't know, sir. Maybe you listen to Netanyahu. Netanyahu pushes back on pressure for ceasefire deal. Quote: mm-hmm. "No one will preach to me." Put all the rabbis on retirement.
Yeah, because they're not speaking out.
Yeah. No, I mean, they ain't preaching to him.
Oh, well.
But what's the purpose?
He considers himself a spiritual leader.
Like, how you killing people in the name of God, your God, and then you going to say, no one will preach to me. Well, how the message came to you from God that you could kill other people that God made? I just saying, you think your God didn't make them set?
It boils down to the people of Israel and how they respond to him.
Yeah.
And they are responsible for him now. He's no longer responsible for himself.
Unfortunately, the whole world will live the consequences of his actions. Genocide is a serious thing. I just don't understand why black people, when I say black people, like culturally, because black is a construct,
mm-hmm.
why culturally black people and people of African descent, and making a distinction between the two,
mm-hmm.
are not up in arms. We should be in fear. Anytime anybody talking genocide talk, anytime anybody acting genocide acts, we, the descendants of enslaved Africans, whether through the transatlantic slave trade or enslaved on the continent, we should all be...
You need to pause there, and this is one of the conversations I plan to have on the next show, on the next hour. How can we challenge the chosen people? We are subjugated to them.
PLPs is vote for PLPs. That's how you challenge the chosen people. No, I bet you it's PLPs who call themselves chosen people too.
These are special people who brought us God. And if they brought us God, we have no other choice to humble ourselves.
Listen, what do you, when you said they brought us God, right? You know what it made me think about?
What did
my great 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 grandfather used to sell chikchanis to tourists, right? He used to tell them, because he was a customs and immigration officer, right? And so he was like, you know, you bought it, and they were like, yeah, but I don't see it. And he's like, because that's how it works.
Yeah.
When you get home, it'll be there though. Immigration and customs rules.
My humor is, some people might think you're joking, but this is a real thing.
It's a serious story.
We as Afro-Bohemians, so at one point in time, used to sell ghosts and chikchanis to tourists and made money off it.
Absolutely.
This is a documented thing.
Let's go to the phone line, and then we're going to go to these headlines. F&M launches training program for aspiring candidates.
Yes, I want to talk about that.
Good morning, caller.
Aaron, good morning. It's Diana. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm okay. I know. The people they are not the chosen people.
What?
Okay? My goodness. Were they ever enslaved?
Yes.
Were they sold all over the world?
Egyptians okay? saved them.
They are Romans. They have nothing to do. The chosen people are the black people. Jesus is black. It says he was burnt bronze. My God, when are we going to start saying the right things? We are the people.
Thank you, ma'am.
The music, the inventions, the excellence, where is it coming from? Look at what black people have accomplished with chains around their neck.
Yes.
Okay? Let us honor our ancestors. Let us remember that God walk them through those waters, that a new world was born out of their womb. Let us remember that we are the Israelites.
Thank you, ma'am.
Those people are warmongers. They have nothing to do with love and world of peace. They will never be at peace. They need war.
You can tell you ain't going back to the U.S. no more. They can buy
you. We've been talking about the U.S., Ms. Hamilton. Thank you very much. Yeah?
You're welcome.
Don't mind this.
They can ban you from the United States.
If I call you a Philistine, would that be offensive to Christians?
But if I'm circumcised, can I still be a Philistine?
I don't know enough.
Circumcised
Let's wait until the second hour. Let's wait until the second hour. Now on to more. Okay, so Mr. Nuri, I had a lineup of stories in today's paper. One set is a focus on crime, murder. Count up over 2023 was in yesterday's paper, the 2nd of September.
You change subjects now.
Hold on, listen, I have two sets of subjects.
Okay.
62 graduate from RBPF second chance program and accept parole system and move on, says Dawn Clare, prison commissioner, right? I have that set of stories. Then I have this set of stories.
Go ahead.
F&M opens candidate registration process.
That's what we're talking about first.
Okay, why disclose donations if they don't, which is about campaign finance, and the rest of the story is about campaign finance. So let's go to today's Guardian. F&M launches training program for aspiring candidates. The Free National Movement has launched a training course for all aspiring candidates to ensure they are prepared to serve the country properly if elected. F&M Chairman Dr. Dwayne Sands announced at a press conference yesterday. Sands said every potential F&M candidate. Okay, we go into page 8. Oh, that went way back in the paper. I wonder why they dropped that so far back in the paper. Here we go. Incumbents, including the party's leader and deputy leader, will be required to go through the program. So all incumbents.
Wait, hold on, what?
That's the 7 of them. All 7 of them, right? The 7 of them?
Are required to do what?
Are required to go through, complete the candidate training program.
So they're going to put the former Prime Minister, Hubert Alexander Minnis, back to school?
If he wants to be a candidate.
And if he does not go?
Then he can't be a MP. He can't be a candidate.
Interesting.
Yeah. 50 aspirants have gone through the training so far, which has been dubbed FNM Candidates Academy, San said.
Now, how many people already?
50 aspirants, but I don't know what that means. Does it mean that although you announced the opening of the training course, yes, opening of the registration, mm-hmm. like if you want to register to be considered for nomination, to be considered a candidate, like since you opened it, 50 people have already gone through it, or are you saying that 50 people have already gone through it, then we opened it up to the general public, or are you saying that throughout the course of this training program, 50 aspirants have completed the training? Because if you're saying that, I need you to identify who the 50 aspirants are.
One would assume so.
And then we need to grade them the same way we grade students in school.
But these are not candidates or standard bearers as yet. These are people who are interested in the party.
Right.
So perhaps that's why they're not identified as yet.
Well, no, what I mean is if you've had 50 aspirants go through the program already,
mm-hmm.
right, you can only be named a candidate if you've successfully completed the program.
Mm.
So I want to know how many of your former MPs have taken the program and completed it so that we could give them a grade. And then we could tell them that a D is not satisfactory.
Mm-hmm.
And then we could tell them that 7% of y'all getting C or above on all your exams.
But they started from scratch. What they did last year in grade 3 have nothing to do with grade 4, eh? Or you say they dumb
what
for life.
What school do you go to?
Or they dumb for life. Can they have a revolution and say, I am?
Yeah, but your success in grade 4 is based on your success in grade 3.
Can have some epitome.
So then you have summer school. So those who didn't do well in grade 3 still have an opportunity to learn what it is they missed from grade 3 so that they have a better chance of succeeding in grade 4.
Hmm.
But you don't just forget grade 3.
No.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Did they say what the classes are about?
The courses? The story I saw last night did not identify any of the modules.
My gosh.
To use academic...
So we have no clue what they're...
So here we go. In today's article in the Nassau Guardian, it says, San said the FNM Candidates Academy involves training on areas of legislative process, campaign and political office financing, governance, politics, election law, and other topics. I would like to know, is one of those topics...
Ethics?
Hey, that's great. I would just assume... That's a part of it. Like how I assume that in a small island developing state that is vulnerable to climate change and sea level rise, that flood insurance would be a part of every single
basic. You still talking about that?
Yeah. It's still flooding in Pinewood?
It can always be flooding in Pinewood.
The people then built a whole development, and then after they built the development, they removed the environmental mitigating strategy that they used to prevent flooding in that area. And we don't want to talk about flood insurance?
I've disclosed to ask you, who people build Pinewood?
I don't know, but I tell you what, I know where the place was where the water used to drain from Pinewood, and I know what's there now. And I can't imagine that we did that to all the people who invested hundreds of thousands of dollars in mortgages and homes in that area.
I thought the developer said he already finished with that and his project no more.
You may notice me and Yuri look into the east to Fox Hill Prison.
Hmm.
Yeah, so incumbents must also complete the training course. We should see their grades as well.
In the training course?
Yes.
It's a pass-fail course.
Well, then we obviously did a good course. Good morning, caller. Ain't no good course.
Good morning, Aaron Gray.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Yuri. I'm doing well. I had a good time on American Labor Day. Watching all those football. But listen, I'm concerned. I saw this in my WhatsApp, but it's training course.
Mm-hmm.
If I run for office.
Wait, you got this in your WhatsApp?
Yeah.
Who sent it to you?
Why? My source.
You have a source.
So let me ask another question. I don't care who sent it to you.
I care who sent it to you.
What I want to know is this. Who published the note? Did it come from
FNM,
the PLP, or is it independent critique?
No, let me clarify. Newspaper report.
Okay, good stuff.
Right, newspaper report. No, not notes. Well, like that. Because
PLPs like to... Hold on, let me just say this, Pumpkin. PLPs like to disseminate, like... statements, purported to be from the opposing party. But you don't ever see the party that the statement is purported to come from actually post a statement.
I know the PLP has a war room, and I was wondering if Pumpkin was a part of the war room.
Pumpkin, you ever see Netanyahu in the war room?
I many rooms, you know. But my, this is from the newspaper. You saw the National Guardian?
Yes, sir.
It's in the National Guardian.
I just read from it.
Right, that's where you want to comment from. My concern is, if I run for office constitutionally, why would I need training?
For the party?
Don't become a Kingsley Smith?
Remind you. I must say that I applaud the FNM because the PLP has their own module.
Many modules. That don't seem to make sense.
But they have trailblazed the terms of politics by coining this, that you need to go through a program. So it seems as if this is the new age of bohemian politics where all members of political parties go through some sort of training.
Listen,
organized and crafted by the organization itself.
So it seems that I never had in my whole entire life under the majority rule or that you need to be trained.
You need to be trained to be a part of their nomination process. You don't need to be trained to nominate yourself as an independent, and your party does not need to be held by that same boundary. But I think the electorate would appreciate parties showing or attempting to prove or expose to the Bahamian people that they attempt to educate or build skills, capacity building for potential MPs.
Materials are misleading, now when I'm reading. It's constantly misleading.
How?
I got to come on the show and show you
all.
If you can't say it in 30 seconds,
you don't want me to do it, right? I'm an Aaron Green show. Go ahead, Aaron.
If you can't explain it in 30 seconds, why you said it?
No, what I'm trying to say,
it
confused me because, like I said, this is something, let's say, constitutionally, you don't need to be trained to run for office. Like you say, you probably be trained to run in their party system. The first time I hear it.
No, you need to be trained. I mean, to be a good MP, you need to understand your roles and function. We've reached a place in our political culture where I've been told this by PLPs, the person who designed the PLP candidate training program is the same person when they filled out their declaration form for the by-election in West Grand Bahama that they didn't know how to fill out a declaration form properly. Right? And so, there's no requirement that you complete any specific training program to be an MP. But surely you want to prove yourself worthy of the job. You don't want to be a Kingsley Smith. You don't want to be a Kirk Cornish who could get up in a church service and say, I'm the PM of Abaco, exposing that he has no sense,
no clue,
of how the system of governance that he operates in works. Like, you don't want to be them.
I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying on that side. So I guess, I guess, confused me because I have seen people, like my father run for office. He was an MP. He didn't need to be trained.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm confused about it. I've been trained by him as a son.
Mm-hmm.
What to avoid and not to avoid.
Mm-hmm.
But my dad, when he was chosen by, he's a popular person and he had a business. You know, back in those days, you got to have... Gotta be popular, and on that front, he was asked to run for office.
Okay,
then. All right.
But what I'm trying to be close in, this training song, like they want to manipulate you onto their philosophy, no freedom of serving your people.
I understand. You know, I think I understand.
Have a good day.
Absolutely.
Well, I still applaud both the PLP and the FNM for taking this route in terms of making sure all of their candidates are aware of party politics, understand the general procedures of House of Assembly, how laws are drafted, so they don't come in at a deficit on day one.
Right, like they don't become a Mario Boleg who, in the face of an audited report being tabled by the Auditor General,
mm-hmm.
right?
The audacity.
To turn around...
Mm-hmm.
and challenge the Auditor General and then table an unaudited report on the same matter.
I don't understand or appreciate what's the madness he did.
You don't want to be a bowleg and have a personal private event at a public entity and not expose to the public all of the receipts and documents necessary to show the people that you either A, paid all the costs yourself, or that you ensured that any costs incurred by the entity or any fees, right, issued are paid. You don't want to be them.
Or be those persons who do not declare at the end of every year.
Or be those persons who sit in a House of Parliament aware that even if they made their declaration, it doesn't matter because it hasn't been gazetted yet. You don't want to be them.
No.
Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron Green. How are you?
I am good, thank you, sir. How are you?
I'm good morning, the great C.A. Nuri.
Blessings to you.
And
yes, sir.
Thought is,
yes,
I
sir.
Need both of you to re-WhatsApp me or text me your numbers, because I get a new phone and I lost all the numbers in the old phone.
Yeah,
I want to keep all updated when I get the update.
Yes,
where
sir.
Is
yeah, man, look at your number now.
I don't know. Pumpkin eater, that must get a coffee from Jamaica, man, up in the Blue Mountain.
It's sweet up there. It's sweet up there.
It got to be because how you could get a job, that whether you come in knowing or you get in and then you train OJT on the job training, you got to do some training.
Mm-hmm.
What do they be talking about?
I'm not sure, but I didn't want to, I had a line of questioning, but I didn't want to delve, even though he raised the personal aspect about his father, I didn't want to delve into that.
Listen to me. Listen to me, behemoths out there. I ain't the most astute person in the world, but I is the GNN. And when I call, I talk in facts, truth, what on the ground. Don't call the talk shows if you ain't got your facts and your faculties together, man. The word listed, you make yourself sound stupid. Now, Nuri and Aaron, I got some switching for y'all too.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all say the PLP and the FNM, Nuri, my boy, talking about he command the FNM and the PLP for what they trying to do. What they trying to do is what they always used to do. Get them young people in there, train them in their ways, in their parties, and then nothing. And the young people try to put their head up, they cut it off. Come on, man.
That's party politics, sir.
But then you got a nation that's there, and the nation is suffering as a result of the party politics, man.
Listen.
We need to get this thing right, Nuri.
GNN, thank you very much. You left me with a great idea. I'm going to go to this next caller. Caller,
yes, Rob.
Thank you very much. Caller, get ready, Mr. Nuri. You know what that sparked for me?
Mm-hmm.
UB needs to offer the course. It needs to be independent.
You mean like that Tingham course? Master's course for the make no
sense. Yeah, no master class series. No, that wasn't nothing.
No,
that's not the same thing.
You sure?
I'm certain.
I still shake my head at it.
I still shaking my head that we don't know how much it costs. We're not talking the master class series. That was performative, and unfortunately, it did not maximize the potential that it had for national engagement and discourse. But what if UB ran an independent candidates training course? So that citizens could see that these people have passed an independent course. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron and CA.
Morning, sir. How you doing?
Now, Aaron, my way of manner, I'm in politics long time.
Yes, sir.
It's the decent way of cutting the fat in politics, trimming the fat off. That's the, in back of the day, that's what Clinton and Papa did the night of the long knives, publicly. Those who won't go quietly in the night, we could publicly cut you down. That's all. That's the way of getting rid of. Even from a minister, he has thrown the line, do everything else. Although he's a prime minister, there's the rules now to be in the next election. It's called F&M classes. Or disloyal F&Ms, disrupt F&Ms, got to be cut. That's the way party works. Loyalty. It's only one leader, and that's Pintard.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the way it works. I mean, it should work.
Mm-hmm.
This way, but Papa did it back in the day. Cut down 7 Senate MPs. Loud. I mean, party ain't want you to run no more. Period. Go sit down, or we'll cut you down. We might give you a chairman job down the road. But that's how party is run. But Aaron,
I mean, that's how these parties run.
I mean, the regular parties, got one leader, kind of 3-4 leaders, and one chairman who runs the party. Like
that's gang culture.
Mrs. Abad.
What if I say to you that's gang culture?
He had no PRB party. No PRB fair. They ain't raising no fund. To be a chairman, you can't be a cabinet minister. That's too hard work.
I think it's really.
I don't know what he's doing, but I hope in next election he be gone.
I don't know if it's about hard work, but it's managing the conflicts of interest.
For
five
election,
more
for
years.
Every constituency in the Bahamas. They don't know you. You know them.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that may not. The University of Woodford, that was his idea. He was the first to come and the last to leave every night.
Mm-hmm.
A real chairman. And that may not. Papa. Big Brad.
And
chairman.
Thank you.
Respect them.
Thank you, caller.
Party was respect them as men and lead up the party. We'll cut you down.
I mean,
and
that's gang culture.
Why you like the gum? I mean, deal with them. Sumit, what's his name? Sumit?
Caller, you hear the music. We all out of time. I want you to know that I appreciate your contribution. I appreciate the passion. I got 8 minutes left. I got to go to a break. And just as we go to the break, producer, a couple of things. Pumpkin Eater, is it possible that your father trained at the School of Wolf, what do you call it? The University of Wolf Road?
Yeah.
Did he train there within a different type of political culture? Oh, there's so much to talk about when we get back from the break. We're going to read through all of the texts. You're on the clock. Stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
It's time for Guardian Radio and AML's second annual back-to-school snackathon. We are accepting donations at the register of Solomon's Fresh Market and Cost-Rite locations in both Nassau and Freeport. And with your donation, you can make a difference to a family and a child going back to school with the gift of snacks. No amount is too small, and if you are a My Solomon Smart Rewards member, consider donating your points. So let's come together and make this school year unforgettable. Donate today and help us make a difference in the lives of children across the Bahamas. Promotion ends September 5th, 2024.
When you jump in your Japanese import and you turn the radio on, all you hear is...
For the month of September, the HitSpot will install a band extender in your Japanese import for the discounted rate of only $79.99, VAT included. Get your band expander installed today at the HitSpot and listen to
Star 106.5.
Plus, get fresh news and smart talk on
Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock. We're on 96.9 FM. I hope you stay tuned all day. Let's go through the text very quickly. The text here says, let's be honest, tourists come over here and a huge number says there is nothing to do. I think what tourists are saying, like the amount of money it costs to be here, you all should have more high-end things for us to do. Another text says, Zionists are not the Jews of the Bible who copied the Egyptian knowledge. Another text, they are not candidates yet, so they don't have to be identified. Y'all, look here, you could take the man off the plantation, but you cannot take the colonialism out of the man. And neither are the general public grading the trainees, so why do they need to be identified to the general public at this time? I don't know. Have we become so used to gang culture that we can't identify when we are reinforcing the same systems that oppress us? Another text, morning, but we only have 37 seats, so what happens to the others who took the course but didn't get nominated? Do they get a senator post? Is the course accredited in the Bahamas or internationally? Can they transfer their credits across the floor? Best one, we should ask Vaughn Miller, hey, or Renwood Wells. Who else we could ask? There are 39 seats though, right, Mr. Newry? And then the speaker and the deputy speaker sit like as independent in the house, right? Like they don't...
Only the speaker, the deputy speaker in sitting down.
Right, but when the deputy speaker assumes the role
then
of
the speaker...
the speaker
sits down.
So does the speaker, when they're not in the speaker's chair, are they allowed to operate in a partisan manner, or do they have to maintain the nonpartisanness of that position straight through?
I have never seen the speaker. I mean, I've seen the speaker request to give a contribution. And she comes down and gives.
But as an MP, right?
As an MP.
But not as a speaker.
But not as a speaker.
Yeah, yeah. All right, another text. Good morning, Aaron. And CA, if North Abaco had training, he would not tell his constituents he's the PM of Abaco. Another text. Aaron, can you imagine if Usain Bolt had woken up one day and said to his coach, "Do you know who I am? I'm the fastest man in the world. Who are you to coach me? You see all my gold medals? I ain't training no more. Could all these people degenerating training please stop the ignorance? The rules are there to stop ignorance. Some people will come to the session and it will be clear they know all the rules. We ain't worried about them. We want a level playing field where nobody is ignorant." And this is important because a lot of times people know the rules and then they play like they don't. For instance, y'all caused the good Bishop Victor Cooper to come to Putin's internet and tell us that some of the candidates weren't even aware that they had to declare. Right? And so we need everybody to be trained. So when they say foolishness like that, we could say with confidence, "No, we know you had training." Even if the boy who didn't know how to fill out the declaration form properly is the person who designed the training program. Another text. Good morning. It is important to train prospective candidates in order to familiarize them with the party's policies, constitution, etc. Also, should they become the government, the protocols as to the way parliament operates, etc. Anyone venturing into any new job, public, private, or personal, need to have some knowledge as to how the particular entity works. I had a headline from yesterday, Mr. Newry, where six staff from the gaming board were finally awarded, given awards for breaches to their, I think the rights given to them through contract. And it amounted $1.9 million shared between six people. And essentially, when you read the article, like even the judges, like, this is ridiculous. Like, y'all just couldn't follow the rules. And then somebody can get on, "I didn't even realize that was what the rule said." Another text. "Great show as usual, Miss Green. I'm trying to be polite as possible and radio appropriate, but question, why would someone be stupid enough to build a house in Pinewood knowing fully well it's an ocean there?" Dear texter, because we're in the middle of a housing crisis and Bahamians are desperate for housing so their kids don't have to sleep in cars on the beach.
Or in shantytowns.
And shantytowns. That's why this is a national issue and not just a personal consumer issue. This is why it needs to be approached and recourse and resolution needs to be, it has to be provided at the legislative level. And only Parliament could do that.
And this is why I'm concerned with the Ministry of Housing. They're not doing an adequate job. They're not fulfilling the need of solving what is the crisis.
And they're not protecting consumers. You're not protecting Bahamians from unscrupulous actors. I saw the video of the, six or seven houses built in what seemed to be a pond. And I wondered, is this a new tourism venture? Y'all figured y'all would give people homes on the water in Pinewood?
I'm sure that they'll pave the road and that'll be solved.
All right, Mr. Newry, I get a couple of headlines. Still need for commission of inquiry on Dorian. With the Davis administration not having committed to launching a commission of inquiry into Hurricane Dorian-related deaths, Free National Movement Chairman Dwayne Sands said he still supports such an inquiry, emphasizing that some families need closure regarding their missing loved ones. Sunday marked the fifth anniversary of Hurricane Dorian, the devastating Category 5 storm that killed more than 70 people and displaced hundreds. And again, I want to note that 1,000 people is more than 70. So in fact, this statement is true. When he was the opposition leader, PM Davis called for an independent inquiry either by outside police investigators or through a commission of inquiry to determine the fate of those missing in Abaco and Grand Bahama after the Category 5 storm. There was considerable confusion at the time over the number of people still missing after the storm. In June 2020, then National Security Minister Marvin Dame said in a press statement that 279 people were missing. However, then Assistant Commissioner of Police Solomon Cash said only 33 people were still missing.
This is
I would like to read the article, but we are all out of time, and I'm hoping, when you say God spare life, we have more time to get into this subject matter this week or in the near future. Mr. Nuri, thank you for joining me this morning. Tech says you can build in a swamp. They do it in the bayou, but you can't build in a swamp the same way you build on dry land. I agree with you, Texter. I wonder if the people out west agree with us. Good morning, Bahamas. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri is up next.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.